I see we have a few new people here. If you came to listen to a lecture, forget it. I am not a lecturer. If you came to listen to a sermon, you'll be disappointed. I do not give sermons. If you came to hear something profound, again, you will be disappointed. Because the only thing profound here is you. I am merely a mirror. And what you see is what you get. Imagine, if you will, that you're looking into a mirror. Do you like what you see? Do you see divinity? Or do you see a sinner? Do you see a radiantly happy person? Or do you see a miserable, depressed person? Wherever you look, you meet yourself. Whatever you see in the universe is nothing else but yourself. As a matter of fact, there is nothing but the self. What do you see? Think about that. Chanting is very helpful to make you one-pointed, to put you into a state where you can absorb your own reality. So let's do a little chanting together, shall we? Again. Have you ever wondered where everything comes from? Think about that. Where does everything come from?
The mind.
The sun, the moon, the trees, the universe. Everything. When you look at the variations of the world, the amount of insects, animals, the various animals, trees, vegetables, the variations of leaves, flowers, human beings. Where do they all come from? How did they get here? Someone may say God created them. Yet what do you know about God? Who is this God? Someone else may say, well, it's consciousness. Everything comes out of consciousness. How do you know? Have you had that experience? Someone else may say, everything is Parabrahman. Beyond God. Beyond the infinite. How do you know? Have you experienced it? One of the best answers I had to that question was an answer that Ed gave me yesterday when I was talking to him. He said, Robert, the more I see you, the less I know. I don't know anything. I doubt everything. And that's profound. Because that's the truth. To know something, you have to first know nothing. The more you think you know, the less you are. Yet where did all things come from? How can we explain it? whatever you say caused it, what caused the cause? What is the explanation for life? It is infinite. But where did it really come from? I can answer that by telling you a story. When I was around 10 years old, my uncle took me to see a hypnotist. He was a pretty famous fellow at that time. He was also a magician. There must have been about 400 people there at Town Hall, downtown New York. He picked out certain people. He asked for volunteers first. I told my uncle, why don't you volunteer? He said, okay. And he did. And there were about 25 volunteers who sat on chairs on the stage. He spoke to each one of them. He told most of them to go back to their seats. He picked 5 people out of the bunch. My uncle was one of them. He proceeded to hypnotize them, and he made them all do funny things. But what I really remember is my uncle. When he was finished, before he unhypnotized everyone and brought them back to this reality, he said to my uncle, when you come out of it, you will go back to your chair. But when I clap my hands, you will imagine there's a black widow spider on your neck. And I was really laughing. He clapped his hands first, and my uncle came out of it, out of the trance. And he said, was I hypnotized? I doubt it. He went back to his chair. The hypnotist started talking about something else. Then he stopped and clapped his hands. As soon as he did that, immediately, my uncle started squirming and slapping his neck. And he told me, Robert, there's a spider on my neck. See where it is. And he stood up and started wiggling and slapping himself all over. The hypnotist clapped his hands again, and my uncle came back to the natural state, the human state. When I looked on his neck, there was a red welch on his neck, like a spider bite. Where did that come from? There was no spider. Where did the bite come from? Who put it there?
Did he get sick at all, either?
No.
His mind wasn't that powerful. Like that.
He didn't get sick at all. Mm-hmm. When the hypnotist clapped his hands, everything came back to normal. But the welch, the red mark, was still there. The same power that caused the red mark to be there causes this universe to be here. In other words, nothing. There is no cause for this universe. Another illustration is this. There was a monk sitting in a classroom with his teacher. And the teacher is explaining, all things come out of nothing. And this monk was interrupting the class by saying, how can that be, Master? That sounds impossible. How can that possibly be? And the teacher said to the monk, do you see the fig tree outside the window? Yes, teacher. Go out and bring me a fig. Yes, teacher. He proceeded to bring the fig and put it in front of the teacher. The teacher said, break open the fig. He did. What do you see? Why, thousands of seeds. Take one of these seeds and his razor blade and cut the seed open. It took him a long time, but he did. And the teacher said, what do you see? Well, in a fig seed, there's only a hollow. And the student said, nothing, teacher. And the teacher said, correct. The nothing that produced the fig tree is the same nothing that produces the universe. It's an optical illusion. The universe does not exist as it appears. It's an emanation out of your own mind. Yet the world appears real. How can it be an emanation? Well, how can my uncle's neck become red? As if a spider bit him. There's no spider. I'm sure many of you, when you were children, used to stand at the railroad tracks and look way down in the distance. It would appear as if both tracks become one. Optical illusion. When you're in the desert and you're thirsty, you see an oasis of water. But as you investigate closer, there's nothing. Nothing exists. It's an illusion. This world appears to be a world of effects. No cause. The world is egoless. It didn't come from anywhere. How can that be? Think about when you're dreaming. Does your dream have a beginning? It just begins. Everything is already there. The trees are there, flowers are there, people are there, situations happen. Everything just begins. There is no beginning, there is no cause. Yet where did the dream come from? Psychiatrists and psychologists tell you the mind, the nerve impulses in the brain cause the dream. The world and the universe are just like a dream. But how does it affect you? Being a world of effects, the whole world is impersonal. Totally impersonal. Until you identify with certain situations and you make it personal. As an example, take a cold. A cold is impersonal and does not affect you. But you have been brainwashed to believe that you catch a cold. Therefore, when people have a cold, instead of just watching and not identifying with the cold, something within you subconsciously from your upbringing believes the cold is normal. And you say to yourself, everybody catches a cold. And sure enough, you do also. I recall when I was about 9 years old also, I used to run out every day when it snowed in my t-shirt and play in the snow. I would do this every day. My mother didn't see me. I'd have fun. I'd throw snowballs, build a snowman. Yet I never caught a cold. One day my mom saw me going out in a t-shirt. And she screamed at me, Robert, get back in the house and put on your coat this instant, or you'll catch a death of cold. Sure enough, that day I caught a cold. Why? Because I identified with what my mom told me. After all, she's my mom, she must know what she's talking about. Let's take something else, a cancer. What we call cancer, again, is impersonal. Yet when some of us identify with it, we appear to have it also. If we looked at cancer like we do a cold, the cancer would disappear by itself. Yet, what's the first thing that comes to your mind when you've been diagnosed as having cancer? Death. And so you start deteriorating. But in reality, there are no cancers. There are no colds. There's nothing but consciousness. Yet, you are seeing the world. You are believing the world, and you are identifying with the world. It's not the world or any condition that has come upon you. You have created your own condition by what you have accepted, believed, and identified with. Take a look at your life right now. Think what's going on in your life. Are you happy? Are you miserable? Are you healthy? Are you sick? Are you rich? Are you poor? Doesn't matter. The only thing that matters is everything you are is what you have identified with somewhere, somehow. There is no power outside of yourself. There is no world outside of yourself. There is no creation outside of yourself. There is no universe outside of yourself. There is no God outside yourself. You have given birth to all of these things. You're playing a game with yourself. You're putting on an act. Why? Ask yourself. This is called in Sanskrit Leela, the grand illusion, the grand play, or Maya, which is the grand illusion. You identify with the world and you suffer accordingly. think about what's hurting you right now, what upsets you and makes you angry, something you have to do, something that's going on at home. It makes no difference what it is. The fact remains you're giving it power because you are identifying with it. Now, to solve the problem, all we have to do is change identification. We have to start identifying with the reality. But you say, I don't know what the reality is. Then all you've got to do is to get rid of that which is not the reality, and the reality will come by itself. In other words, you have to realize and start working on yourself by knowing that I am not the world. I am not the physical universe. I am not my situation. I am not my body or my mind. Therefore, who am I? That is the question. You never answer. You merely remove the obstacles. For you can never really know who you are by verbalizing it. It is only in the silence that the ultimate truth comes to you. It is only when your mind has become quiescent, calm, like a motionless lake. A motionless lake reflects the stars, the moon, the sun. But a lake that's noisy, vibrating, reflects absolute nothing. In the same instance, a being whose mind has become motionless, whose mind has become calm, relaxed, peaceful, begins to reflect your own divinity. Begins to reflect pure awareness, nirvana, emptiness. That always comes by itself. The ultimate reality is already there. You do not have to search for it. No one can give it to you. You have simply to remove the things of the world. A person asks, am I to give up the world? Am I to give up my profession, my family, and go meditate in a cave? Of course not. You are to give up these things mentally, not physically. Physically, you give up nothing. But mentally, you begin to realize everything in my life is an emanation of my own mind. As you start to give up these things mentally, by realizing I am not my body, I am not my mind, I am not the world, I am not any condition. you will notice you become calmer and calmer, happier and happier. Yet your body will continue to do whatever it came here to do. But the things will be done better, for you're not interfering with them. You're no longer interfering and trying to make things happen. As an example, say you're a salesman. Before, you used to plan and scheme how you're going to make the sale. But with this new knowledge, there's no one to plan and there's no one to scheme. For your mind is becoming empty. Yet your body will continue its work of being a salesman. And because there's no one to interfere, you will become a super salesman. Why? Because the real nature of the universe is total joy and total bliss. That is your real nature. For you are the universe. And as you get yourself out of the way, the same power that appears to grow the grass, that causes the flowers to bloom, that grows oranges and orange trees, will take care of you. You have nothing to fear. How do you start? By realizing you know nothing. Not by trying to be smart and recite affirmations that you learned in the book, but to realize I know absolutely nothing. I have no idea how a tree got here. It just appeared. What came first, the seed or the tree? I don't know. How did Henry's dog get here? Where did the dog come from? Where did the first dog come from? Nobody knows. Where did the earth come from? The moon, the stars. You have to admit to yourself divine ignorance. That you know absolutely nothing. That's how it begins. This is also why the great sage Lao Tse said, the more you talk, the less you know. The less you say, the more you know. Why? Because when you talk, you're talking about the world and worldly things. What else do you talk about? And since the world doesn't really exist the way you think it does, then you don't know too much. But unless you say, it means you're beginning to go within, to dive deep within yourself, where your reality is. Then you begin to become your reality itself. That's how it begins, by saying, I know nothing. The next step is to realize that you exist. That's the only thing I'm sure about. I exist. Who exists? I do. Well, who is this I that seems to exist? Where did it come from? I don't know. Who doesn't know? I. We're back to I. So something within you begins to tell you that I is responsible for everything I believe. Where did I come from? Who am I? You begin to search for the source of the I. You do not affirm what the source is. There's no use affirming the source's consciousness if you have not experienced it. But what you do is you follow the I to its source. How do you do this? By asking yourself, who am I or what am I? Taking a pause and asking yourself again, who am I? As you keep practicing this, something very interesting is going to ensue. You're going to find that you're becoming happier and happier. That you're acquiring a feeling of immortality. You don't know why. You just feel it. All these truths become revealed to you. You start to understand that there never was a time when you were born. And you do not even prevail now as a body. There will never be a time when you disappear. You as consciousness has always existed as pure awareness, as absolute reality. This will all come to you. You will try to share this with your friends and your relatives, yet you will not be able to. For there are no words that can describe it. What has happened to you is you have merged in consciousness. You have become the self. And you realize that the whole universe is none other than yourself. They're not two selves, or three selves, or four selves. There's only one self, and you are that. It becomes very clear and very evident to you. Then you become an asset to the world. For you treat everyone as you would treat yourself. This is all done automatically. I'm trying to use words to explain it. When it happens to you, those words become foreign. You become a living embodiment of consciousness. Consciousness is your real nature. What you think you are now does not exist. It is mass hypnosis. These situations you're involved in are false. Nothing is as it appears to be. Therefore, begin to work on yourself. Find out if what I'm saying is true. Do not believe a word I say. Experiment on yourself. You do not have to go anywhere. Just where you are yourself at home. Begin to spend more time diving within yourself, watching, witnessing. When thoughts pop up, simply ask yourself, to whom do these thoughts come? To me? I think them? Who am I? What is the source of the I? As you do this, my friends, I can assure you, a marvelous change will take place in your life, sooner or later, and you will become free. No one is doing anything to anyone. We are not the body or the mind, either subjective or objective or universal. It only appears that way to you when you're dreaming, the mortal dream. But when you wake up, they no longer exist.
Isn't that just a theory?
It's a theory if you've not experienced it.
How can you experience that which... How can you experience that?
Find out for yourself. Go within.
And if you experience it, your mind is still there.
How do you know? Your mind is what hinders you.
Your mind is part of source.
No, it's not.
Everything
has. Nothing is because nothing exists. To be part of the source means it means that the source had to produce these conditions. The source had to produce these conditions. That's what you're implying. But in reality, what you call the source or absolute reality only knows itself as consciousness. It doesn't know anything about this. You do. You know that there's a world. But the world really is not there. What you call the source only knows itself. That's all. But find this out for yourself.
Then you're saying that everything always existed. The dog always existed too.
And the appearance.
Well, we're an appearance too.
Your body is an appearance. The world is an appearance. But it's not really you. You are not the world as it appears. You appear to be.
But we all work together. It all goes together.
No, it doesn't. It appears that way. But there's no one to work together. there are no others. It's just as if you tell me the sky is blue. But if you go into the atmosphere, you'll find there's no sky and there's no blue. It doesn't exist.
But I'm relating to you because you're there. Without you being there, I don't have the same illusion, if that's what you want to call it. If the dog isn't there, I don't have the same perception, even though that perception is that lilo, whatever you call it, is very important.
That's how you see it from where you're coming from.
Well, I mean, just being. I don't mean it's important to a person as a person. It's important because that's what life means.
To whom? To you.
To me, that's my life.
That's how you see it right now. But let's imagine you were in kindergarten.
Kindergarten.
No, grade school.
In grade school. When you were in kindergarten, that was your life. And that's all you know.
Fine.
But then you grew up.
Good.
And now you're somewhere else and you're saying that's your life.
Good.
But life is a series of growing.
Good.
Therefore you'll grow out of what you believe now, one day, and you'll see something else completely.
You know, but after a certain stage, you know, you begin to suspect that this is so. And I still feel grateful to the flower, to whatever's here.
When you were in kindergarten, you felt grateful to the spitballs you were throwing and the hair you were pulling. That was your reality. So now this is what you're telling me about yourself is your reality.
Well, then, what?
But there's more to it than that.
Yeah, but I don't mean to contradict you.
You can.
If you obliterate all of that, then you have to be nothing.
That's it. You got it.
You got it.
You got it. That's it. Nothing, you're everything.
Remember Socrates' words?
I know that. Is there ever a point that one feels they know something?
There's nothing to know. Because you are everything. Consciousness knows itself.
Mm-hmm. So there's no knowing. If one doesn't know, there's not going to be any knowing.
There's no knowing as it is now. Mm-hmm. There's just pure awareness. Total awareness, pure intelligence. You know yourself.
And you know everything else as yourself, but as to where it came from or what it is, you don't really know.
That all becomes clear to you.
Yeah.
It didn't come from anywhere because it never existed.
Mm-hmm.
It's only an appearance. And it appears real to you at this time. But there will come a time when all of this will be gone. And you'll be free.
Well,
Robert, the only thing to really do is to hold on to the nothing. But then there's nobody to hold on to it.
When you follow the eye to its source, the eye dissolves into consciousness, which is called nothing, no thing. And another word for that is bliss, harmony, love. You become a living embodiment of that. And you can't explain it because there are no words. Remember, the finite can never comprehend the infinite. You can only find the truth in the silence, not by words.
But to the mind, it looks like zero. to, in reality, it's reality.
The mind is zero.
It's just the opposite. The mind thinks it's something, and that the nothing is zero. And in truth, what you're saying, the zero is the real reality, and the mind is really zero.
Well, you can say, all the world loves a lie. Therefore, when I tell the truth, it thinks I'm telling a lie. Exactly. No one is dreaming. You appear to be dreaming as long as you believe you're a body. But when you awaken, you will realize you've always been awake. There never was a time when you were anything else but pure consciousness.
That word is referred to sometimes as your soul,
though? No. The soul is part of your mind. The soul doesn't exist. You're given credence to that. Just like reincarnation and karma and the rest of it. As long as you believe you're a body, then all these things are true and real. But as soon as you realize you're not the body or the mind, everything else becomes redundant.
It's like the soul is supposedly an individual, and then you're saying that it's, there's no such thing because there's only consciousness, which is not an individual.
It's the same thing as people believe when they die. Your soul becomes something else. You go to a causal plane or an astral plane or whatever. That is true for people who believe they're the body. Because you're creating all these things. But as soon as you wake up to your true nature, none of that exists. As myself. There's only one self. When I speak of myself, I don't mean as Robert. I mean as consciousness. There's only one ultimate reality. And I am as that.
But you see our body, right?
Yes.
You see a body.
I see a body like a mirror sees reflections. You see reflections from a mirror, but you're not the reflection. You're the mirror. In the same way, I see everything as a superimposition upon the self. But there's one self, and I am as that.
Can you see actually consciousness? Does consciousness have an appearance, a physical appearance?
Nope. I see you. Like when you go to a movie, and you see the images on the screen, you forget about the screen, and you think the images are real. But if you try to grab them, what do you grab? The screen. Because there really are no images. So I see you as consciousness. I see the screen rather than the impressions.
But you can't see it with your physical eyes. Do you feel it? Or do you know it in the knowingness way of it or being this way?
I experience oneness.
Oh.
Everything is one. Things come and go, but the oneness never changes.
Do Do you feel that you are each person?
No. I feel that I am a unit. Unity. There's one. Nothing is divided. There's only oneness.
Feel it or you know it.
Omnipresence.
Omnipresence. Feeling and knowing are both wrong. There's a state of being. We've just become that. And the only other word for it is silence.
This is a great happiness.
Total bliss.
One of the songs you played said it was existence knowledge bliss. Is that true?
Satchitananda, existence knowledge bliss. Those are all part of reality. That's all reality. But it's beyond that. You're looking for words to explain it. Again, remember, the finite cannot describe the infinite. There are no words to describe it. You've got to dive within yourself and prove it to yourself. This is the reason I tell you so often, do not believe me. Do not believe a word I say. Why should you? But dive within yourself and find out. Prove it to yourself. And then come and argue with me. Let's sing some more songs.
There's no karma, there's no reincarnation.
Nothing. Yes.
Okay, would you please comment on our current Middle East crisis?
The current Middle East crisis is a part of the illusion.
Delusion?
It's part of what you see.
Illusion.
It's something that you have created in your mind.
Well, I think right now they're fighting over you.
Sure they are. Right now we're sitting here too. But that's your perception. The whole idea is to transcend the perception and we see something else completely.
What is my perception?
What you're telling me.
Well, I think it's a consensus.
Of course. It's like you're having a dream and in your dream we're talking like this. And you're telling me what you just told me, I'm telling you it's a dream. But you said, no, Robert, it's not. Can't you see we're all sitting here? I can walk over and pinch you. And you come over and pinch me in the dream. And you say there's a war, and there's a war going on in the dream. Everything is happening. But then you wake up.
Why is there no karma and
because you believe in it. Because you believe in it. Only because you believe in it.
Well,
that's why it exists.
But then, why are you saying it doesn't exist?
I'm talking of my own experience.
But can you prove it?
Whatever I do.
I mean, I can't really.
I don't want you to.
I know, but I mean, you know, it's different.
Whatever I would tell you wouldn't matter, because it's just words.
Mm-hmm.
This is why I say find out for yourself.
Well, I have. I'm
That's where you are right now.
Not sure. But
there's more. There's more than that.
Oh. Mm. I know there's more.
So finally,
are you saying that you're better than I am?
No, I'm not. I'm worse than you are.
But you don't know that. How do you know that?
because of the songs.
These are just real words.
That's right, the words. That's what we're talking.
So if you go into consciousness, pure consciousness.
What is pure consciousness?
Well, I would think that from what you're saying, I hope we can communicate. It is God consciousness, or whatever you want to call it. It's just consciousness.
But why do you say something that you haven't experienced?
Well, I had experienced it because you said so.
So you've experienced it? Then you would have nothing. Then you have nothing to say.
Well, I don't know. I don't know. I wouldn't bother you. Your statement of no karma and no reincarnation is unsettling. Because I have found that to be true.
Well, enjoy it. Enjoy it.
But it's a very fundamental, it's a very fundamental concept.
If you dive within yourself and find out, go deeper than yourself.
Okay,
the answers are there.
Okay, I think
I'm
because why should there be reincarnation if what we really are hasn't been born and doesn't die?
But we don't know that.
Yeah, but if one experiences that and like an explosion in self.
Then there's nothing else.
No. Right. But I wondered about why should there be a reincarnation of a person in what he truly are isn't born and doesn't die?
Because he believes she's the body. As long as you believe you're the body.
Yeah, that's it.
There's not one body, there are many bodies.
Excuse me, but I don't agree with what you're saying about you look on the body. I know I'm not just a body. I know that.
But you believe in your body. You believe your body's real.
Well, for now. But
why should it be otherwise?
But your consciousness, the consciousness, you also said there's no soul. That's interesting.
Hmm. For whom is there a soul? For the body?
Yeah.
As long as you believe you're the body, then there's a soul, there's karma, there's reincarnation, there's God, there's everything. But as soon as you transcend the body, it all disappears.
Yes, are you an atheist?
Hmm?
You're an atheist? But my goodness. You're saying something like chemical. And I'm not talking
I believe that God is all things. What we call God is another name for consciousness.
Did you meet Yogi Rama?
Which one?
Sri Rama Yogi? Yogi Rama?
No.
How did we get in the state of hypnosis?
You never did. You believe you did. That's why everything happens. But you're completely free.
I am, but my mind isn't. What is?
As long as you believe that, it will be found. You have to go within yourself in the silence and see for whom the mind is.
But how can you speak of freedom if we see you're still bound by the laws of mortal existence? You are breathing yourself.
Say that again.
How can you truly speak of freedom if we can see with our eyes you're still bound by mortal existence by the cord of breath, which ties you to the ground?
You
use
the mind to destroy the mind. So when you examine the mind, it disappears because it never existed.
But can you prove transcendence of the body by ceasing the breath and the heartbeat?
By ceasing what?
The breath and the heartbeat, the limitations of that.
ceasing the breath and the heartbeat has nothing to do with transcendental meditation. It's just another feat of the mind.
But transcendental literally means beyond reason. It means beyond the mind.
If you go beyond the mind, you become free. Everything else is of the mind.
It's the mind for breathing and eating. It must be part of the body. It's inseparable from the mind.
It's all part of the mind. But when the mind is transcended, the body will still eat and will still do everything it does. But it has nothing to do with you.
Is there such a thing
as angels? In your mind. As long as you believe you're the mind or the body, angels exist, the devil exists, everything exists. But as soon as you realize who you are, then you become free and liberated.
But isn't that part of the creativity? Like an artist who makes a painting because he wishes to?
The creativity comes out of your mind.
Yes, but of your own free will.
Of course. As long as you think you're the mind, you can do all kinds of things.
No, you know that they do. Just that you enjoy the story.
Who enjoys?
Whatever's here.
Who's that?
Whoever it is. You're going to catch me on that one.
When the mind is gone, everything is bliss. And everything takes care of itself.
The mind is also bliss.
The mind is a conglomeration of thoughts. The mind is a bunch of thoughts of the past and the future.
Is emotion just generated by thoughts?
Yes. Everything is part of your mind and part of your thinking process. That's why the mind has to be transcended.
So your story about the pig is at the center of everything is nothing.
Emptiness. Emptiness is consciousness.
And the mind has a hard time accepting that it doesn't exist, is that right?
The mind will not accept it at all. So you have to examine the mind by watching it, by being mindful, by asking to whom does the mind come.
There's ultimate fear of death.
Fear of death?
No thought, no life. The mind.
The mind does that. The mind plays all kinds of games. Death, birth, and everything else in between. When the mind goes, everything goes.
Does that mean once the mind has been transcended, there's always emptiness?
There's emptiness as consciousness, as bliss. It's not emptiness like you know. It's a cessation of thought. And there's a total joy, a total bliss that is beyond understanding that takes its place. Let's try to experience it. You can practice this in the privacy of your home. So close your eyes. And focus your attention on your breath. Just watch yourself breathing. If any thoughts come to you, just ignore them. Become the observer of your breath. Now ask yourself the question, who observes the breath? Who is the witness to my breathing? And the answer comes, I am. Now this is the meditation. With your respiration, as you inhale, say I. As you exhale, say am. I am.